This is February 26th, and the last scheduled Bartholomew meeting is March 26th, 1995, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, good morning, my friends. All right. Let's go through it once again. This time, let's take it from a longer, vaster historical point of view so you can sense where consciousness has been moving. Remember, I told you that you are not what you think you are, that you have believed yourself to be the subject of your world, whereas in reality, you are all objects within consciousness. And as such, consciousness goes where consciousness wants. Consciousness does what consciousness wants, sometimes with or without your permission. But to get a larger perspective on what it's all about, let's just visualize what the Moor tour to the Yucatan just brought forward quite clearly. When they were in Uxmal, which is a very lovely Mayan site, they heard the recordings of all of the people crying for the god whose name was Chok to bring the rain. Because if you've been to that part of Mexico, you know that it's either too much or too little. It's either raining a lot or it's not raining at all. And so in order to survive, consciousness had the focus that what it needed to do was to call out to this external god named Chok in the hopes that they could somehow placate, plead their case so that this god would bestow them the gift of life, which is the rain. That was something like 700 years BC. And here you are now approaching 2000 AD. And as you are all part of consciousness, there is no question that as consciousness, you were aware of all of that that took place in that former time. That it is not separate from your consciousness, whether it is separate from your remembrance as a body-mind mechanism or not. But what you can see clearly, and I hope what you can feel clearly in your being, today, this day, as part of consciousness, can you sense the change? What has consciousness moved toward, away from? You, as representatives of that awareness, what is it that you can say is different for you now than it was when you were part of the consciousness back in 700 BC? And it's very simple when you settle down quietly and just allow yourself to feel through to the truth. The truth of it is that consciousness now knows without question, and each one of you as points of consciousness know this equally true, whether you pretend or not, that's your business, but you know with all of the power of being that there is no necessity to call out to a god outside of yourself and to ask for anything whatsoever. The model that they were working with, that you were working with, that consciousness was working with at that time, was of this great external power that had to somehow be fed in certain ways. And what you have learned, and I hope that our 17 years has absolutely proved to some of you, and eventually all of you, is that this, that which you seek does not need to be, have things bestowed upon it. You know, you don't make bargains with this power. You don't need to say, well, if you'll give me this, I'll give you that. And if you will love me, I will try to love everybody else. You know, whatever idea you have had in the past, that there was something outside yourself that needed to somehow be spoken to, I hope that you know this is not the case. What is true and must remain true with the intensity of all of the rest of your life is that that which you seek is silently within, awaiting your call. And that call comes moment by moment by moment in the simplicity of just remembering that it is there. There is no formula. There is no way to this place. There is just the simple awareness, the remembrance. Ah, the treasure exists. Ah, the lake of love and light exists. And I will just be silent and allow it to make itself known. I will not allow the confusion of thinking mind, of judgmental consciousness to constantly throw me off. I will just remember the simplicity and be still and know. And then you say, well, what if you want to pray for rain? Or whatever it is you want to pray for. Back then, 700 BC, there were some members of each of those groups that was wise enough to know that this calling out was not what brought the rain. That there was a cycle within life itself that produced the rain and the drought. And the rain and the drought. And that it was a normal, natural cycle with a law unto itself. And that there was no necessity for them to disrupt this by their constant calling for something that it was not in the natural cycle to have happen at that moment. What would have been greatly useful is for all of them to have been silent and to gone within and to have gotten, which would have been readily available, the guidance of what to do in the absence of rain. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is the willingness, instead of placating an external God and saying, give me something, it's now, I hope, you come to the knowing that you silence yourself and say, what next? Not asking that it be a certain way. What next? To be silent in the present. To allow yourself to hear what next. To feel what next. Because what next is going to come. And you know full well now, all these years later, that it was not their prayers and it was not their sacrifices that brought the rain. You know this now. And you look back and say, how foolish. But I ask you, what part of you remains back in 700 BC? Is there not still a part of you that is still in 700 BC that still thinks, okay, this time, God, if I'll get it right. I'll get the right prayer. I'll get the right mantra. I'll get the right guru. I'll get the right diet. I'll get the right whatever. And then I'll be all in line and it's going to happen. And I'm really hoping so deeply that if we have done anything together in these years is to say no. Go ahead and pray. Ask. Go ahead. I don't care. Go ahead and pray all you want. But know what you're doing. Know what you're doing. If it feels better to pray, of course. Pray deeply from the heart of consciousness outward. Scream and yell and call for what you need and want. But remember who you're yelling at. You know? Don't get confused. Don't think that you are yelling at someone or something way out there in the vast Netherlands that somehow, if you're loud enough, it'll hear you and respond. What kind of a model is this for life? What kind of a model is this for bliss? You know, if you're always hoping that God's somewhere close listening, there's always a chance that he's got his mind turned someplace else and doesn't even hear you. You have to understand, a part of you still remains 700 BC. Understood here, inside of your own being. There's nothing wrong with that. It is just part of the tremendous illusion of this exquisite multiplicity of the external world that convinces you. You look out and you see there's the power. And if I can just arrange my external world, I feel better inside. But you know what happens, don't you? You get it all fixed, and then somebody comes along, just when you've got the chess pieces all the way you want, they kick the table, and the whole thing goes over. So you have to start again. Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Stop it. Just stop it. Just remember that consciousness is now at the place where it is absolutely available for each and every one of you to feel at any moment the full, complete fullness of your light self, your God self, your aware self, whatever you call it. And it is nothing that needs to be begged for from outside. It's nothing that has to be sacrificed to in any way. The only sacrifice, if you want to call it that, is to be willing to just remember where the bliss lies. To remember where the bliss lies. And to not allow this exquisite, exquisite world to keep deflecting you. You know, enjoy the world, love the world, embrace it, but at the same time, remember. Just remember. You know the truth. You know where the light lies. You know where the power has always been. You know. All we are asking is that you be willing to remember fully, completely, and totally, moment after moment after moment. If you want bliss, go where bliss is. And you know where it is. You can deceive yourself into saying there's an external power that will make the situation helpful to you. You can do anything you want, but just remember, you're in 700 BC. Just remember. You're here, you're now. Catch up with yourselves. Catch up with yourselves. Catch up. And this is what the new age, whatever you might think it is all about. Is the willingness for people to pull their projection of power from the external world into the heart and depth of their own being. And to, in that pulling in, to have revealed to them fully, completely, and totally the bliss of your true nature. This does not mean you don't pray to Christ. Christ will be extremely helpful. Or Buddha, or whoever, absolutely. I am not saying to throw all of the great ones somehow in the garbage. That is not what I'm saying. But I am saying this. You have to know where the power lies. And when you call for help of all of the great ones, whoever they may be, please understand that you are also calling to a part of yourself. And that this self is not waiting for you in an external moment, at another time, when things are more in alignment. It is now. And if you will just relax into the now of each moment, you will understand exactly what we mean. The temptation is immense to just keep pulling yourself back out and to saying, no, I know there's just one more thing out there that if I just had that one more thing, I'd be happy. Just one more thing. Just one last thing. And you know, you all have your one last thing. And some of you, it's the perfect teacher. Some of it's the perfect, I don't know what. I'm sorry?
The last Bart.
Well, this is the last Bart. This is enough of this. We've had enough of this. Certainly we've had enough of Bart, you see, whatever that might be. So, just to know, please, please. Because if you have made this transference, you know, I think in psychological transfer is very interesting. But, you know, human transference has been going on ever since you began to think. And that is the transferring out of yourself. Outside lies the power. Outside lies the love. Outside loves the knowing. And somehow I have to get in alignment with that. Please, my friends, with all of consciousness, I ask you to just relax. To just know with all of the knowing that is possible to you at this moment, the truth of your being. And anything outside of that is a distraction. This does not mean you don't think and love and live and have children and get sick and get mad. It doesn't mean that at all. It means something much simpler. In the midst of all of these multifaceted activities that make up your very interesting lives, in the midst of any activity whatsoever, no matter how interesting or compelling, there is in the midst of that compelling moment an absolutely more compelling power However wonderful it is to do whatever it is you enjoy doing, there is an absolutely exquisite other power absolutely available at any moment. And all that's necessary is just the, I remember. And in that quieting down, in that momentary reversal of the face inside rather than outside, then you find that the internal landscape begins to be clearer and clearer and clearer. And instead of the external world having the full power of all of your sensory perception, something arises inside that is not built on senses, that has nothing to do with senses, that has to do with truth, that has to do with a power that is so vast, that is so immense, that is so compelling, that it is absolutely compelling beyond all other powers, and it is the power of love. Not a kind of fixed love that negotiates itself, but love itself, totally, fully, and completely. Do you want to be fully loved? Then you have to be willing to be loved fully. You have got to be aware of yourself as love itself. Fully, completely, totally, each moment, every moment, willing to love as love. Love loving itself, love loving love, self loving self, all the same. And all of that awareness, all of that wonder happens when you come to this willingness point. And all of you who would spend a day listening to this are at the point. So just stop. Just stop fooling yourself that the next job or the next love or the next whatever is, or the next thing going right in your life is going to bring you the happiness. It is buried deeply within the heart of your greatest pain, your greatest pleasure, your greatest struggle, your greatest harmony. Nothing has to change. Nothing has to change for you to experience your true nature. How impossible is it to say, well, I have to go find my true nature. Well, where shall I go? Well, I'll go ask somebody else. Do you have my true nature? Ah, Mac and Dory, you have my true nature. Reveal it to me. You see? Please hear. Please hear. Am I saying that you shouldn't have teachers? I don't care what you do about that. All I want you to remember is that whatever teacher you have, it is yourself talking to you, reminding you of yourself. And if you enjoy the idea of having teacher talking to student and you enjoy playing that role, fine. Then go and pretend to be a student and pretend to be listening. But don't forget the truth, which is you're talking to yourself and you're listening to yourself. It's all one thing. The wisdom is not hidden from you. It is you. As consciousness, it is filled with its own knowing. And if you want to play the body-mind game and forget yourself as full consciousness, fine. But if you are tired of that, if you sense that there is something vaster, something more magnificent, something more ongoing, something more constant, consistent, reliable, then I ask you to turn within quietly, moment by moment, without any expectation whatsoever. You do not have the foggiest notion of what this is going to be like. And when you keep thinking that you do and putting ideas in your mind, you keep yourself away from it. Just open up and shut up. And allow it to be what it is with you. It will be different for each of you. For each one of you, this explosion into your clarity of your true being will be different. It will be absolutely different. So please don't listen to your next door neighbor, and certainly don't listen to this. You listen to yourself. When we began this teaching, we stated, this is brother talking to brother, sister. Brother, sister, brother, sister. No separation. You make a separation, that's your game. That's not this one's game. There is nothing that is not available to you that you need. Nothing. The thing that separates is this idea that it is separate. That you have to go and get. Or you have to give up something. you know, question I'm often asked is, well, I'd like to be enlightened, but I don't want to lose my family. Well, it's a strange kind of a question, but I understand it deeply, because, you know, you look at the ones who have been historically recognized as awakened, and boy, their lives are something. I mean, look at Christ. What a good time he had, you see. Do you understand what I'm saying? You look at these lives, and you look at lives like Ramanas and Buddhas, and you see the total renunciation, and you don't see children running around and grandchildren and sports cars and beaches, and what do you see? You see someone sitting quietly, totally absorbed in their inner being, totally blissed, and austerity all around. And that's frightening. Understand that. That's frightening. But I want to tell you something. Those who you have recognized, Christ, Buddha, Ramana, whichever ones you have, everyone, St. Francis, there's another great happy life. Just one happy moment after another. And yet, it's true, there was one happy moment after another. He, St. Francis, probably had one of the most blissful lives possible on this planet. Does that have to be your way? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I understand the question. But I want to remind you that the ones that you have accounted and recognized as being fully enlightened are the giants. These are the awakened giants. If you want to use the words, these are the great avatars that come to the planet to pull you along. And that is not necessary. That degree, that depth of beauty, of knowing, of clarity, is not necessary for you to be awakened to your true nature. It may be that it is your destiny to deepen to such an extent that the external world is of no interest to you. That could be your destiny. I am not going to ever say that is not possible. But I will tell you that you would never turn within to that extent unless it's what you wanted. You would never turn away from the external world unless you wanted this inner world with all your heart. And at that point, then it is, of course, possible that anything is possible. So I don't ever say you won't lose this and you won't lose that. All I can tell you is that you will not be drugged, you know, like some kind of, you know, puppet pulled into the deep world of bliss. Don't you wish it were so? But it is not so. And so I ask you to think about it instead as an ever-deepening process. The willingness, ever new joy. Remember that term? Ever new joy. Ever new joy. Ever new bliss. And the reason for these words is they're true. It is an ever-deepening process. If you would look back, if you for a moment could experience your consciousness and what you felt 17 years ago, for just a moment. Think about it. And then flip here again. You'd understand what bliss you're in. But because it is so familiar, because it has been so gradual, there's not that, But if you could all just go for a moment back 17 years, think about it. How far you have deepened your bliss. Your acceptance of yourself, your acceptance of others, your acceptance of your life as it's manifesting now, beautifully, perfectly, even in the midst of difficulty, pain, sorrow, loss, suffering, yearning. Just please recognize for yourself how far you have come. Because one of the things that is not helpful is to fall into this place of, well, it's never going to happen, it's never going to happen, it's never going to happen. Because often it is so gradual that you don't really feel and recognize the depth of it until sometimes you find it when you go back home. Do you know what I mean? I don't mean your heavenly home. I'm talking about your human home. When you all of a sudden go back to visit the folks, and you go back to your old hometown, and you go to the old places, and you see the old things, then you get it, don't you? How could I live in this kind of a place? How could you, most of you say, how could I live in that kind of an entrapped environment? Isn't that what you mostly say? Do you go home and say, oh, I wish I could come back. It would be so perfect. It's lovely. I'll move back in with mom and dad again, and it'll be just great. No, it's not like that. And so is it when it comes to your awakening. It's not like that. And this tendency to always be gauging yourself against some other bliss measure is not helpful. And the bliss measure is people like Francis and Ramana. And no, you're not going to measure up. And so what? It doesn't matter. Just know that there are endless, wonderful stages of bliss, of the nectar of consciousness itself, awaiting moment after moment after moment. I've said it over and over again. It's just like dropping yourself from a helicopter into the ocean. Well, when you hit the surface, it feels one way. When you're going down, it feels another way. When you are down in the depths where it's silent and deep and nothing moves, it's another way. But it's all one ocean. It's all one experience. It's all one being. It's just gradations of the same bliss. And so this idea that it has to be a certain way is a tremendous limitation, ladies and gentlemen. And I ask you to put it aside. If you have the thought of bliss in your mind, then I ask you to go in that moment without thought to go to where bliss is. You know where it is. Moment after moment, if you are unhappy, please go where bliss is. In that moment, even if it's just for a moment, go where bliss is, and you will find it. It may be momentary, fragmentary. It may be elusive, but it comes. And you go again and again and again and again. And then it becomes deeper and deeper. And you, one maybe, one glorious night, you will realize, I've deepened it. Something will happen in your life that would have thrown you into a frenzy of fear or resentment or jealousy or anger. And you find yourself with just a little motion on the surface. You following me? Just a surface motion that reminds you, boy, this used to be a big deal for me. This would have just enraged me or just whatever me. But there is something in you now. I'm not saying that the motion doesn't happen. But you hear it, you feel it, and then you say, well, good for me. Good for me. Good for the I of me. Good for the I of consciousness. Good. And it's the recognition of those moments that keep you looking internally. The recognition of all that you have done helps to pull you deeper and deeper into the inner movement. It is not against the highest good for you to recognize your own goodness. You know, when you were little children, they would say to you, you'd come in and say, well, maybe you were brave enough to come in and say, oh, mommy, I'm so beautiful, or I'm so handsome, or I'm so smart, or I'm so funny. And your mother would say, go to your room. Don't be arrogant. Acknowledging, please, my friends, that when these externals arise and you find that you can deal with them in a deeply, sometimes humorous, compassionate, steady way, over the days when you used to fall into frenzies of drama, tells you that you are deepening. If you are the same as you were 17 years ago, you're doing something wrong. But you have to be willing to recognize your greatness. You have to be willing to recognize your own deepening. Because it is the recognition of it that will encourage you to continue. Do you understand? To keep saying, oh, I'm not getting it, I'm not getting it, I'll never get it, I'll never... Oh, endless times that people come to me, I'll never get it, I'll never get it. And I'll just look at them and I'll think, well, looks to me like you're getting it. I'm not getting it, I'm not getting... Why? Because they have a preconceived idea in their mind of what getting it is. And of course, I aid and abet the problem by calling it bliss. I'm guilty. But when you hear bliss and I say bliss, we don't mean the same thing. When you hear bliss, you think of a sensory response, don't you? Isn't bliss a sensory response? Isn't it? Isn't bliss going to be sensorily blissful? Well, this bliss transcends all senses. This bliss is not in the same order as all of your other bliss. It's just not the same. And so whenever you keep saying, I'm not getting it, what you're meaning is that you are not going around ecstatic and filled with some kind of sensual delight and expansion and wonder and happiness like this. This is not what this is. It's something different. It's something different. And so when you keep saying, I'm not getting it, all it is a reminder that you are using a gauge that has to do with the senses. And the truth is that this is not a sensory awakening. Listen to this, please, ladies and gentlemen. If it is a sensory awakening, then when the senses are gone, it will be gone too. This has nothing to do with your senses. Now, it is true that the senses begin to partake of the wonder and the relaxation of this ever-pleasant bliss. That is true. But when this deepening begins, it does not happen as a sensory perception. It happens in a different order of things. And I'm only saying this to you so that many of you are in pain, physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain. And you feel that in the midst of this pain, that this bliss cannot be obtained. All of that mental, emotional, all of that pain has to do with senses. And I will tell you again that what you are seeking does not, it absolutely transcends all of your sensory intake. It is a different order of things. And please realize that in the midst of any sensory moment, no matter what it is, pleasurable or otherwise, in the midst of any of that, that which is the real bliss of being is present. And if you will just go there and allow yourself to partake of that bliss, you will begin to, if I could put it this way, re-remember. You will begin to re-remember. I've told you the story endlessly. You'll remember that you are the king and queen of this palace and not the one in chains in the basement. You know? It's like this. People go by and say to the chained one, you know, you're really the king or you're the queen. They say, that's absurd. That's absurd. I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner of my senses. I'm a prisoner of my karma. I'm a prisoner of my destiny. I'm a prisoner of my Tao. I'm a prisoner of I don't know what you're a prisoner of, but something. All right? You're always... And that's what the one in the cellar is saying. I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner. So somebody walks by and says, shh, you know, you're really the king and the queen, you know. You really don't have to live down here. You could really come out and play with the birds and the trees and the river and the mountains and the flowers and the animals and even God itself. Oh, don't be silly. I'm a prisoner in here. Go away. But finally, enough times somebody walks by the door and yells in. And finally, one day, you say, well, let's see. And you stand up and you go to the door and you go out. And as you go out, you become ecstatic. Look at the difference. But what you are doing, my friends, is walking from your seated position to the door. That's all you're doing, is you're walking. And as you walk, you're getting ever and ever closer until that moment when you will stand fully in the door and you will know. But you must admit that there is more light in the front of the prison cage than there is in the back. And as you get closer and closer and closer to the opening, it becomes bigger and bigger, more and more real. You can hear the birds. You can smell the breeze. You can hear the running of the river. You can feel the wind coming in. You become alive in another way. You're moving toward the door, and one moment you will stand fully and you will know. Fully realized. But all of those stages are magnificent. You know, you're not going to just astral project from one point to another, you know. You're going to have to walk. And that's all that you're doing, ladies and gentlemen. That's all that you're doing. And just remember that the closer you get, the bigger the opening, the greater the light, the more wonder, the more real this journey is all about. So I'm asking you to just realize the bliss of the journey. You know, in all of the historical literature, there are always, in all great cultures, there are myths. And there are the heroic myths about, and that's what the myths are all about. Starting from the back of the cave, all chained up in the darkness, without anywhere to go, and no light, and no help, and no hope. And all of a sudden, to realize that the chains are not tied, that they're just placed lightly, they can be put aside. And that you have the power to rise up and to walk toward the light. That you have the power to know the truth of the bliss that is right out there. That's all they ever tell about. And all of the trials that the hero or the heroine, usually the hero these days, but maybe that'll change someday, the hero goes through, and all of the help, the other world comes and helps, the invisible world gives them marvelous magical things, great swords, great garments, great lances, great jewels, whatever they need. Elixirs to mesmerize, all kinds of things. Well, you know, it would be really wonderful if you could acknowledge the number of gifts that you have received in your journey. Because if you would stop just a moment, you would realize that there have been endless numbers. Endless, endless, endless numbers of invisible gifts that have come to you through others, through the unseen world, in some magic way, through yourself, through your dreams, through your own wondrous knowing. And so this is the journey. This is the journey. And all that it's necessary is to be willing to move. That means to be willing to let go of your idea of who you are. The idea that you are this entrapped prisoner in the dense darkness of the bowels of this wonderful castle is a lie. And just be willing to get up and walk. You have been doing this for 17 years. Some of you have been walking this path 17 years. You were walking other paths before this one. Those of you that started walking this one have been walking other paths. Many of you are walking two or three paths at the same time. That's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with two or three or five paths. What do you care? As long as they're all moving you in the same direction. As long as they're moving you toward the light. What difference does it make? All that is asked of you is the willingness to get up and walk. And there are none of you in this room that are still seated. You think you're still seated. You look like you're seated, but you're not. There is no one who is still in that locked position. No one would come to this kind of talk that really believed you were still in bondage. Whether you are willing yet to realize how easy it is to escape bondage or not, well, that's up to you. But I want you to know, the way to escape bondage is to just silently go to where freedom lies. And that is inside. Moment after moment after moment after moment. Unthought, unspoken, unheard, just present. Because this is an inner journey. And it's done in silence. And it's done in willingness to let go. To let go of what? To let go of the constant referencing yourself outside yourself. The constant looking outside yourself for your joy. For your support. For your comfort. Go where comfort lies. The comfort that can never, ever be taken from you. No matter what your life turns into. Who knows what your life will turn into? You don't know. You don't need to know. All you have to know is where to go for the comfort. And we made this clear the first years out. The comforter is within. Just go where it is. You want to be happy? Go where the bliss is. You want to feel love? Go to where the love is. You want what you want? Go where it is. You don't go to the beach if you want to go on a mountain hike. And you know that. So don't pretend that you don't know. It's this willingness to say, all right, I'll give up this multi-diversified wonder. I mean, you'll still be there, believe me, you'll still be there. But just be willing and see what happens. See where you go. And in that, you will find out exactly where you are and exactly who you are, without any doubt whatsoever. So do it now or do it later, but you will do it. I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Is there anyone in this room who sincerely doubts that the light is within them? I'm asking a sincere question. Is there anyone in this room that really still believes that there is an external power that has to be placated in order to bring you happiness? Well, then you know you're not seated. You know you're standing in the door. My suggestion to you is you get through the door and then lock it behind you so that you are not tempted to go again back into the dungeon. Because the world will try to tell you it's not real. The world will try to say it's not that easy. The world will try to say you have to have systems. You have to have a process. You have to have a logic. You have to have a plan of action. To be your true self, you have to have a plan of action. I ask you to consider the stupidity of this statement. You have to have a plan of action to be your true self? No. Does this mean you shouldn't have a plan of action? Go ahead and have one. But realize what you're doing. Just realize that it's what you're doing until you wake up. Just go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and do it. Follow any path, listen to anything, but understand any moment you can stop the external projection and go to where it is. It's so simple. I've told you again and again, that which you seek is so immense, so ever-present, you've missed it. It is not that it's so tiny and small that you've just overlooked it. It's the absolute opposite. It is so vast, so immense. You've missed it. So stop missing it. Stop. The choice is yours. You cannot say you don't know. You have pretended to project a separate self up here to tell you something you already know. All right, fine. Now we've done it. You all know. Be still and know. That's it. The whole 17 years boils down to this. Be still and know. And get the doubting out of the way. And just be willing. Just be willing. Moment after moment, just be willing. And in that willingness, it will happen. Are there any questions about this?
Father, thank you. You answered a question that I had asked some time ago about the chains. But there's one detail for that.
I'm sure there would be, dear.
What about, well, you had stated in the past that
You
love something more than you love God. Be honest about it and say so.
Yes.
What about that prisoner who loves his chains more than he loves God?
Oh.
But doesn't want to love them more than
I love it. Did you hear it? It's very well said. I love it. It's very nice. Isn't the mind wonderful? The complexities. All right. So here now, look at this. We have this interesting drama. Now we have a prisoner who's chained and loves its chains, but doesn't want to love its chains. So how is it going to stop loving its chains in order it can love God? Is that the question?
That's it.
Well, are you really ready to hear the answer?
All right, my friend. I like the question. When you say that you love the chains, but you don't want to love the chains because you want to love God more than the chains, the very deepest truth is that the chains are God. You have separated them out and said, now look, these are the chains. And because I said this, I mean, you know, this big windbag says something, you know. And so it goes through your mind and translates a certain way. But my dear friend, the truth of it is this. The chains are God as well. You do not have to get rid of chains. You don't have to love chains, not love chains. You just have to sit and be aware of these chains. My friend, I will tell you, they are not separate from God. They are not separate from the light. They are not something. You see, this is the trouble with talking. The minute I start talking about getting up and walking, everybody has this image, and now we got all this trouble. And this is why I'm going to stop talking, because we get into all this trouble. We just need to stop it. The imagery either gets you and you get it, or you get into your mind, and then we are all in a mess. And we are back down. Where are the chains? Are they made of gold? Are they made of iron? They're steel, and where were they made? And, you know, are they big? Are they small? Can I pull them? Do I burn them? You know, all of this business. And I understand, and this is why I'm stopping. Because the words just confuse. But I love the question, because now we have a prisoner, now we have chains, now we have loving chains, not wanting to love chains. How do I stop loving chains? All of this business, and it's all going on in your mind. It's all going on in your mind. Now, I will agree that there are certain loves that are very sensual, and you sensually love them, whatever they are. They don't have to be just other bodies. There are many sensual experiences that you all love, all right, like loving people. Like having sex with people, like eating, seeing new places, like doing your job if you happen to like it, like creating art or having children or talking to your friends those are all their life, all right? And I hope you're all honest enough to know that you love talking to your friends, that you love being with the people that you love. All right? Now, the idea that you have to somehow stop loving all the people you love, stop liking to talk to your children, all of this business, we've missed it. All I say is it's so very clear, but it's just, you either get it or you don't. And that's why we keep talking. Because it's happened in the midst of all this babble that some of you have got it. Right? Haven't you? Yeah. Get it. And you will come, and you'll go, what a funny question I asked. But it's a wonderful question, because there's many people's question. My answer to you is this. At this moment, you see all of this external as separate to God. And I'm trying to say just the opposite. In the midst of your, if you are absolutely aware of this, whatever this love is, if you are aware of it, if you are feeling it, if you are truly with it and not just thinking about it, if you're just truly with it, then in being with that love experience, whatever it is, you will find that that which is doing the loving is God. That which is behind the entire wonderful confusion is the light itself. This is your way to wake up. Your confusion, my friend, is your way to wake up. And I am grateful for your confusion. Because it is through this kind of confusion that you keep grasping, looking, looking, looking. And one of these days, you will absolutely sit down and say, I cannot think my way through this. I cannot will myself to stop this. I'm just going to have to relax in my life and allow God to find me. That's your assignment. Just shut up and let God find you. Will you take it?
Yes.
Yes, I know. I'm asking you because you will. Just let God find you. All of you, you're trying to find something. Just sit down and let it find you. Quit this running. It's here, it's there, it's this teacher, it's this. Stop it. But it's a valid question. You can't do it. You can't find it. You can't make it happen. You can't cut your chains. You can't dissolve them. You can't do anything. You can't even
Do the silly allegory I talked about. Stand up and walk. You know, you can't even do that. But we have to say something, you know. Actually, actually, maybe that's the problem. We should have never said anything. But just, this is perfect. It's the perfect path. Whatever you are doing, whatever your mind has created as your separation, it is the light of God making its way through all of these seemingly separate things to find its right in the middle of it. So sit down and let it find you. If you are tired of seeking, then sit down and let it find you. Do you understand me when I say that? Just stop it. You know, Mary Margaret asked the question, what? I don't know, how many years ago? Why is it so hard? If I want God and God wants me, what's the problem? Well, now you know, and you all know the answer. You all know the answer. There is no problem. The problem is in the mind. The problem is made up. The separation is made up in your mind. You have thought yourself, remember the Zen koan? I've done it again and again. Here we go again. The Zen teacher says to the students, all right, this is the problem. You have a goose, and the goose is in the bottle. You have to get the goose out of the bottle without breaking the bottle. How do you do it? And one very wise student says, well, I thought the goose in, I'll think the goose out. Get it? Some of you got it. Thank you. You see, Zen stories, you either get them or you don't, you know. But if you got it, even a trace, did you get a trace? You thought yourself in, you're going to think yourself out. You thought yourself into prisoner, you're going to think yourself out. Well, you're not even going to do that. Just shh. Just shh. If you can't find God, then just sit down and have God find you. And in order to do that, there's only one requirement. Is that inside, you're just silently waiting to be found. Just silently waiting in the still moment to be found. Knowing you can't make it happen. Knowing that no matter what you do, you cannot bestow this on yourself. That somehow you have to just trust that just sitting down and stopping in the moment, in the silence, that God will find you. There is no other way, because all other ways arise in the mind and form more idea that body-mind can do it for you. This is the last surrender, the final surrender, the knowledge that of yourself you cannot do this. But you can and have total power to say, please, please, I've told you the greatest prayer, please, show me your face. Show me your face. Show me your face. And those of you that have children, when they come to you and they ask from their heart, what do you say? No, go away, I'm busy. You do what you need to do. And if you are capable of this, how much more is consciousness itself capable of enlightening itself to its own true nature? I've told you, you're playing hide and seek with the God light. And one of these days, you'll just sit down and say, I want to be found. Totally. Completely. All the way down, nothing left. All of me. My God, take all of me. And with that kind of prayer, how could consciousness refuse? You know the rule. Any prayer that comes truly from the heart into consciousness is answered. And that is the final prayer. Let me see your face fully now, please. And if you wander around your life with that prayer in your heart, you will be found. You will be found. Well, thank you for your focus and your openness. Those of you that would like to do nothing with us for 10 minutes, please be welcome.